Mysterio Lionel! Extraordinario! Magnifico!
Man City returned to winning ways by mauling Watford, yet it has no implications on my fantasy football team. Welcome to the Football Corner, Munch's very own home for all things football. My name is Vikram.
My name is Shreyas.
If you guys are new, you can check us out wherever you get your podcasts, Google, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, and more.
You can also find us on our website, munchamedia.com, or at munchasports on all social media.
So let's jump right in by breaking down the good games from this EPL game week. So the first one that we should talk about up top, even though City's game was pretty interesting, I think we should talk about Liverpool-Chelsea.
Yep.
That first half made it look like it was going to be a mauling.
Yes.
2-0 lead and no life in Chelsea, essentially. And it just, it made me want to not watch the second half.
Ouch.
Because other things were happening then as well. But I decided to watch it and I'm so glad I did because Chelsea kind of came alive in that second half. It was complete Chelsea domination then.
It was, but firstly, I'd like to know what other things.
Other things on TV.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we had a few players coming back from injury. We had Emerson back. We had Kante in his deep-lying midfield role. Jorginho, Kovacic on either side. And I don't know, I mean, you almost expected, because Liverpool would be playing high up and intense in that pressing game, and Chelsea would have almost pretty much played on the counter, but yeah, there was almost no life in that first half. Also compounded by the fact that Emerson went off injured after 10 minutes and was pretty much a reoccurrence of his injury, and that shouldn't happen. Like, if you're not match fit, then you shouldn't be eligible to play, no matter how keen the player is. So I wonder what went wrong there.
Well, I could tell why that happened, because they didn't want Marcus Alonso to play.
Ouch.
And you saw what happened when Marcus Alonso came on. I think he was completely at fault for the second goal.
Totally. Was it him alone? Was it the entire system we have in place? Because generally, like, the Chelsea,
I think this Firmino goal is Marcus Alonso, because he's the player closest to Firmino, and it's not like Firmino ran in. He was pretty close to his original position as well.
And he's much taller than Firmino.
Much taller than him, and his reaction time was pretty late. I mean, only a split second late, but that's good enough for Firmino to get the leg up in terms of getting to the ball first.
Yeah.
So according to me, it was Marcus Alonso. What a few takeaways for me are that I feel like one positive for Frank Lampard as a coach is his adjustment. It showed. He figured out what was lacking in the first half. He made sure his team implemented that in the second half, right, along with obviously the energy that just seemed low. They seemed deflated by the end of it.
Yeah.
So that's a positive for sure. The other thing is that he's still not settled on a system though.
Yeah, and I think part of the process, but like time's kind of running out, and like what happens when RLC and Callum Hudson-Odoi are back in contention for playing first team and stuff. So I wonder what he's up to there. But at the same time, I was glad to see Kante in the holding midfield role and not Jorginho. Jorginho and Kovacic for either side. But I wonder why Giroud didn't make the squad and Batshuayi was a sub. So I don't know if he's changing too much almost. And we have to reach a point where we settle. Like, a lot of people are placing blame on Aspi as well. And we have a 19-year-old Reece James, who was Wigan's players of the year. Wigan's player of the year last season. And I think he had the most number of assists also in that team as right back. So, yeah, still some things to figure out. But I don't entirely blame that first half deflation, because first, Tammy misses his one-on-one. And I still don't think he's ready. I still don't think he's to be Chelsea's number nine, because...
But how does one get ready? It's by playing games, right? And playing important games like high-pressure Liverpool matches and stuff. And he's warranted his first-choice role because of his past 2-3 game weeks.
For sure, but just the fact that I've seen him play in the Premier League for Swansea. I get the difference between a Chelsea and a Swansea, but I don't know, it just seems like there are some players who... you know, who show so much of potential in the Championship, and when they step up, you always see them struggling. I think the outliers are players like James Maddison. Like, he seemed ready from the get-go, and there are rumors that, you know, United's after him. They're not satisfied with Harry Maguire from Leicester. They're like, we need to rate more players. Mason Mount seems one. And the thing with Mount is, like, he's a kid and he can make his mistakes. But in terms of, like, that energy, that intensity and their willingness to do stuff, you know, it's very, very clear to see. I'm not saying you don't see that with Tammy. It's just that, okay, Tammy scored his goals and he's got his hat-trick and everything. But, like, the one-on-one that he missed against Liverpool, you know, day before, you don't get chances against Liverpool like that. And it's almost like when he got the ball, he didn't realize, you know, how much time and space he has. And when he did, it's almost like he made up his mind that, oh, I'm going to go for goal. And it was such a bad shot. It was such a weak shot. He could have passed to Mason Mount for a tap-in, empty goal. And he had two opportunities to do that. And as soon as he missed the chance, like, you could see Mason Mount, he was really pissed off. His hands were in the air and he was like, bro, this was the easier option, not shooting. So, I don't know. I mean,
he made mistakes. That's only understandable. The only difference between a good player and an okay player is how you learn from these mistakes going forward.
Right. I just think that, you know, the season's well underway. European competitions have started. Like, we're sort of reaching the end to, oh, we should have figured it out by now. Like, this is almost like a Madrid or a Barca problem where they're also having so many problems, and we'll get to that later. But And I remember we were talking offline and you said, oh, if United continues the way they're playing, then Chelsea is okay. But that's the thing. I mean, Spurs don't look the best. Everton doesn't look the best. But we'll have others coming up. We'll have West Ham coming up. We'll have Leicester coming up.
Leicester's already up.
Exactly.
Fact, yeah.
Exactly. We were talking about Arsenal also offline. How they still suck. The squad's not great. But they're still eking out these victories thanks to, you know, individual brilliance. Oba, Ceballos, Pepe will settle. So, you know, it's a long, hard journey, and it's very easy to, like, lose your way. And there's a fine line between being happy with performances versus still not getting results, whether they be draws or victories. So it's not looking that great, right?
I agree. And the other thing to add to that is that Christensen got injured.
As well as Emerson.
So maybe now either he plays Zuma and Tomori together,
but there is no other center back.
Well, Aspi,
yeah, that's does seem like a likely thing. But at the same time, I still think Aspi fits into a right center back as part of a three-man defense as opposed to a four-man defense.
Well, given what Lampard's done this season, we might see a three at the back going forward.
That's true.
And Marcus Alonso to his preferred I'm assuming wing back role, as
correct,
opposed to a left back.
Right.
All right, so a lot of questions to be answered by Chelsea. I agree that by now, Lampard should have had a settled squad on his hands as opposed to still being tinkering. I think it's too late to keep doing that.
Right.
To me, from a macro point of view, it just boils down to whether the January ban gets lifted. If it does, then Lampard only has the season. If it doesn't, then maybe he has a season more or half a season more.
I don't think so. I mean, considering the fact that, because in terms of a squad, like, we have enough players challenging for probably each and every position, I think, except for center forward. And Tammy's doing okay for now, but that's the thing. You can't be okay with okay players if you want to be a top side. And that's where I fear. Like, I don't want to become another Arsenal. And considering
that's a valid fear.
And considering I'm saying that, like, look at their front three, man. They've got Laka, Oba, and Pepe.
Arsenal's, I'm pretty sure, going to be top four this season. Easy.
Top four?
Easily, yeah.
Really?
And between three and four. Arsenal, I think it's a matter of their squad settling.
Right.
And once it does, and the fact that it's getting these really important 3 points,
yeah,
in this stage,
right,
that's what makes the difference between a third, fourth, fifth, and a sixth by the end of the season. Because once your squad is settled, fine, you're
right,
smooth sailing, you're
right,
losing the odd matches. But it's what happens during the first half or the first,
yeah,
month or 2 months of the season, where you can actually drop a lot of points, and that ends up compounding and pulls you down in the table.
Right.
So Arsenal is fine. I mean, I'm not as worried about Arsenal as I am about Chelsea. I want Lampy to just, he's shown positives as a coach.
Yeah.
He's shown drawbacks as a coach as well, but it's literally his second season coaching top flight football,
correct,
championship included, right?
Yes.
So that's encouraging. And this is the right time for Chelsea to experiment.
I'd say so. I mean, you know, enough shitting on Chelsea from me. Like, the only positive I think I can say and would happily say is Tomori, man. Like, a lot of people think that Salah had an off day or a bad game. just look at the match again and look at every run, everything that Salah did, and Tomori wasn't very far off. And he was blocking out and cancelling him out to the point that Salah was almost like ineffective.
Yeah, positive. Nice. I like it.
So, yeah, I'm glad Chelsea are doing what they're doing. But I think at the same time, it's going to take a lot longer than expected. And as long as Lampard gets that time, then yes, I'm positive that there is potential there.
Okay, let's move on then. Let's move on to...
Another disappointing side.
Well, no, let's actually move on to... if you're Watford, then yes, a disappointing side. City's game against Watford, which... Oh my God. It was... What a statement win by Guardiola, firstly.
Yep.
So a couple of points to note, like this... He must have like spanked each and every one of his players and being like, mere ko 6 goal chahiye, right? And they got him 8 or whatever. Because after a while, like Watford wasn't even playing. Like they were just like, okay, when's the next one coming so I can go back to my center line and start again?
Pretty much. I mean, very first minute they scored, and it almost seemed like, you know, when the youth team plays with the seniors and it's almost like a joke, like how many goals will we concede or how many goals will we score? And it was astonishing. Like, you were telling me about Delafeo's heat map, and there was
it didn't exist.
Yeah,
there was no heat map. There was a heat map of maybe someone just strolling around a pitch for 90 minutes. Like, that's what the heat map of that would look like. It was a joke, man. And whenever a game gets to a point where you can tell that individual players are like, oh shit, maine goal nahi mara, chal goal maar dete. You know, that's sort of like that Brazil-Germany World Cup stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's when you're like, oh my God, I feel so bad for the other team. Because to come back from that, right, it's tough. World Cup is fine. Like, Brazil gets knocked out. Right. They literally cry for like half a year and they come back.
Right.
Watford has to play again next week.
And this is from coming back from the draw against Arsenal, which was inspired.
Exactly. So it's just a statement win from Guardiola. Another thing to note is Sterling on the bench the entire game. So that seemed like it was a statement from Guardiola as well, in terms of nothing is final in terms of position, especially given the amount of talent I have in attacking midfield.
Yeah.
And this is without Sane.
Yeah.
Right. So, and just the 8-0 proves to Sterling more than anyone else that his team can score whenever they want, essentially. So he's not as indispensable as he thought.
Not as indispensable, yes. But at the same time, I think as much as you want to sort things out with this match, and it was insane to see KDB, Bernardo Silva all doing their thing, I still think that Guardiola and City's problems are in defense. And we saw Fernandinho playing center back, and he looks like he's going to be there for a while. Partnering up with Otamendi, that's a problem. That's going to be a problem.
That is going to be a problem. And the only options he has are now a couple of kids, right? So, he figured it out, man. What can he do? He's saying he's not going to go in for a January buy. He'll buy a center back in January just to...
200 million.
Or someone just who can just make do till Laporte or Stones. Right. Stones is going to be back before Laporte, I think. Right. So they'll manage, man.
What if Koulibaly ends up coming? Oh my God.
That'll be... I feel bad for Ancelotti then, because he's one of their best players. The other thing to note is something that I don't understand, and I want to ask you this on mic. On what basis did you select your fantasy team captains? Because I had Sterling. Firstly, I forgot to change my team. I thought it was going to be
so devastated with last week.
I thought it was going to be the regular Saturday 1 p.m. 2 p.m. deadline, and I forgot that there was a Friday late game as well. So my team got locked in. I had Aguero as my captain, which is fine. I probably would have done the same thing. I had Sterling and De Bruyne as well from City.
So you
my
ended
team.
Up doing better by missing
the game week. Yeah, that says something. Also, just I went all in on Man City last weekend and they lost, so that didn't help me. It helps me now, because I maybe would have made Sterling my captain, right? And he didn't end up playing.
Yeah.
Coming back to the question, you had Mane as your captain last week against Newcastle. So you have Mane, De Bruyne, and Aguero.
Yeah.
I have Mane, Salah, De Bruyne, Sterling, and Aguero in my team.
Jesus.
Right? You made Mane your captain last week. Master stroke, by the way. And you made De Bruyne your captain this week, even though you have Mane and...
Aguero.
How? What are you doing, bro? Can you tell me something? I need some help here.
Okay.
People need some help.
Yeah. So first of all, Friday night, 10:30... I just had this random sort of epiphany that, oh shit, I think there's a Friday night game. And I think the deadline was at 11:30, and I fixed my team at 10:30, firstly.
Who'd you get in?
So
did you do a transfer?
I did do a transfer. So basically what I did was, I don't know if I did it this week or last week, but I had, I think, 6 odd million in my bank, and Rashford was my forward. So I got rid of him and I got Aguero, obviously. What else did I do? So I think I got rid of, I think Mount's also come in relatively late, and Peters might have come in, I think, last week. But basically, Mane captain last week because, I don't know, just something with that Salah Mane sort of tiff, and then they lost at Napoli. It just seemed like Mane was like kind of hungry and ready to do his thing. And yeah, he proved me right and, you know,
got a sailing.
Very similar with De Bruyne, considering that he didn't start the league match last week, the loss to Norwich. Yes, he started in midweek at the Champions League. And also just seeing the way he's played this season over the other midfielders, that is, you know, David Silva, Bernardo Silva, and everyone else. He just seems like he's having fun. He seems like he's pretty much at his peak right now and he cannot get any better. And like my two City players were Aguero and KDB and
Edison.
Edison. And I know Aguero will score. Like, if he has to score, he'll do his thing. But he's not a regular starter. So he keeps on rotating with Jesus. And I wasn't sure he'd start this game. So
you're basically telling me that this is all vibes. Shreyas is getting vibes.
I'd say so. And considering the fact that I've been watching football for almost 20 years now.
Okay,
yes.
Who are you vibing with as your captain for next week? I just want to know heads up, so I'll do the same thing. I'm not feeling these vibes. I'm not getting it.
Okay, so let's see what I have next week. So I've actually already made a transfer because I think I got pissed off with Maitland-Niles, or was it someone else? Oh, with Dinier, because Everton is just being shit. And
Everton's, I have Pickford, and oh my God.
Exactly.
Oh my God, it hurts.
Yeah, and Dinier's like, he started at a 6.5 or a 6, and he's a 6.1 currently, and that's way too expensive for not performing. So I've got in a certain Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Oh God, dude. Okay, and who are you planning on captaining? Your initial vibes? What are your early vibes telling you?
Right, so my captain remains at KDB.
Okay, and, okay. Who are they playing again?
They're playing Everton away.
Okay, that doesn't matter. Away home doesn't matter.
It does matter. I mean, considering like, so Everton might want to, you know, show a statement. They lost at home to Sheffield.
Sheffield, yeah.
And that sucked. So they might come out, you know, all guns blazing or whatever. But just considering the way he's playing, like, okay, so for example, so I've got Soyuncu, a Leicester defender, who's basically replaced Harry Maguire.
I have him too, yeah.
Yeah, I have Trent Alexander-Arnold. They're playing Sheffield away. He's a potential captain. But the thing is, even though Liverpool plays well, but they end up conceding, right. I lose that.
That's why, because of that, plus the high price is why I let go of Arnold. I had him in my starting team for like 2-3 weeks.
Right.
You just, if you're bleeding one goal, you're still romping away to a win. It doesn't help fantasy.
Right, but at the same time, so I could have taken Robertson and he's a lot cheaper. I could have taken any other Liverpool defender. They're all cheaper. He's the most expensive.
But apart from Matip, I think VVD and Robertson are maybe a 0.5 million cheaper than Trent, or maybe a million tops, right? And then Matip's a little much cheaper.
Yeah, but that's a lot of money in fantasy.
That is true. Wise words. Wise words. Okay, so you're looking at KDB for captain next year. Noted. Noted. I'll just make my change after this episode. I'm going to make my change today, man. I can't afford another. The only good thing is now I have 2 free transfers. Yippee-yay. I don't know what to do with them. This one, Jordan Pickford's going for sure. And I'm thinking Sebastian Haller from my team. I've got him with high hopes. I, in fact, wanted to get Tammy, and Tammy ended up scoring a hat-trick. That just shows everything it needs to about my fantasy luck.
I get rid of Haller too, for sure, but I won't get Tammy in.
You won't get Tammy in?
I won't get Tammy
in. You have no confidence in your team, man.
Ouch.
All right. So
I have Mount. That's confidence.
That is true. That is true. You spoke about removing Rashford from your team.
Yes.
And bad luck for United. They ended up losing 2-0 to West Ham and got Rashford injured in the process. So no Rashford, no Martial for now.
Now they have Solskjaer kicking up as their next option for attack. Player manager comes out of nowhere.
Score, man. Just looks like he just looks like he's the same player except with like slightly whiter hair. So it's a troubling situation because now it looks like Mason Greenwood.
Yeah, and Angel Gomez.
Like I can foresee a Pereira, Matic, James confused lineup. Like Solskjaer just trying to do whatever he can. Maybe play Pogba striker. I don't know, man. But 2-0 at this stage to West Ham is pretty disappointing. It just feels like it halts all the progress little by little that you make.
What progress? 3 wins since he became permanent manager. That's not progress.
I mean, yes, the results don't show it, but it's the same thing as Lampard at Chelsea. I'm just trying to be positive, dude. I'm trying to help you out. Right? Like, the second half was positive. He didn't get 3 points. So like in 3 weeks, no one's going to remember that he played well or not in the second half.
Correct.
But 2-0 to West Ham is pretty disappointing. I don't know where these guys go from here, especially in the next few game weeks with so many injuries on their hands.
Yeah, I think for starters, they need to contact their shirt manufacturer and get rid of that away color.
Right.
That's obnoxious. I mean, jokes apart, I was watching this game with a United friend, our United Manchur in-house member, Harsh. And it was almost like either Solskjaer gets substituted in or he's like, I'll play for United. Because he's like, at least I'll run my ass off. He's like, at least I can show intensity. He's like, it's almost as if these guys are scared of the ball. Like, they don't want to take responsibility for the ball. They don't want to show up. And that's really bad to see. And it's so funny, like, when you show a team, even though you're losing on the scoreboard, but you show that, you know, you're not in it, you're not confident, you know, you're messing up simple stuff. It's onus for the other players, for the other team to sort of, you know, show up and do better. And I think that Cresswell free kick absolutely like personified that so well, because he had another free kick just a few minutes before that. And it was a bad free kick. It went, you know, nice high up. De Gea not worried at all. And then literally like moments later, he had the exact same free kick, very similar position. And that was a beautiful freaking free kick. And a lot of goalkeepers that I know who currently play say that De Gea got a little bit of a hand to it. And he's like, if you get your hand to it, then you ought to be saving it. And he didn't save it. And this is after he signed his contract extension saying, I've signed for the best team in the world. Good luck, De Gea.
How many times have we seen that? This whole DEA drama of like, main ja raha hun. Oh my God, I'm so happy to say it. But it's good for the team because it settles the player a little bit, right? Which is very important. It kind of seemed like it started showing on the pitch for DEA especially.
Yeah.
This whole, I'm not happy with United. So that's a positive, I guess. I'm just trying to look for like a silver lining here. Let's see what they come up with next week for Solskjaer.
Arsenal,
very
playing Arsenal at home. I don't know. Like, there's no clear. Like, I don't know. It'll be really messed up if Arsenal run away with this.
Really, given the injury, like they attack was the only positive that I found in United's game,
right. Which is doing well
for the most part.
Right.
Yeah,
Martial,
and
yeah.
Now it seems like there's a big dent in that as well. So I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen. Another disappointing loss for the team that lost, obviously. But generally, if you look at it as a fan,
yeah.
Leicester's playing well. Let's not take it away from them. They're actually doing a decent job. But they ended up taking this away from Spurs.
Yep.
Which was a little surprising to me personally. So 2-1, I think this one was.
Yeah. From 1-0 down. Yeah.
Props to Leicester, man. I mean, what else can I say?
Totally. I mean, It's a little weird for me saying this because I don't like Brendan Rodgers at all, but at least the squad that he has and the way they're playing, insane, man. I even remember Vardy said no to international duty because he's 32 years old. He's always going to be second fiddle to Harry Kane. Why waste your time traveling and training when you can rest during those international breaks? But I think the fallout pullout star for me is Maddison, man. He was insane last season and he's just sort of,
he's just getting better. Yeah,
yeah, he's upping that notch. And
even the games that Leicester's, like, they lost 1-0 to United,
right.
But it didn't it was a penalty.
Correct.
And the rest of the game wasn't one-sided at
right,
all
right.
So overall it's extremely satisfying to see this team continue playing like this.
Totally.
And I'm just curious to see how long they can hold it up for.
Yeah, I mean, It's funny because, like, we might have our top two, you know, not set in stone really, but definitely like runaway leaders at this point. But I think from positions like 3rd to 8th or 3rd to 10th, we don't know how it's going to end up. Like, I feel bad for Pochettino. He's one of my favorite coaches, and I think he ought to leave at this point. But that team's struggling, and we know Kane struggles in August and September, but he's had his sort of ons and offs. But
the whole Eriksen thing was pretty unsettling for that team too, because he didn't play like 2 games. And then one game he came on,
right.
And then after just the important games he would start. So that's very unsettling for a squad to start a season with just like such important pieces missing.
Right.
So your gameplay is not like it's not a format, it's not a template. So that's
right.
Always tough for a team.
Yeah, and I just like how I think, you know, Chelsea is struggling with defense. Arsenal will always struggle with defense.
They have David Luiz. How dare you?
They have Shokhdan Mustafi.
I don't even know if Mustafi thinks he's an Arsenal. I don't know what's happening there.
There's a picture of him where, you know, I think it's a free kick or something, and he's backing off into someone as if he's covering them, and he's covering the referee. So it's like, how bad can your day be? You just look at that picture and you're like, oh, even Mustafi was like covering a referee at one point.
That's hilarious. Oh my God.
So, but yeah, I think it's the same case with Spurs. I think their defense is all over the place. Their wing backs are non-existent. They're not good at all. Even their center backs, like we saw Vertonghen come into the squad really, really late. Alderweireld is okay. Davinson Sanchez has been okay. So, yeah, they're struggling big time. But I wonder why Lloris wasn't keeping. I think he must be injured or something, because Gazzaniga was keeping. And maybe he could have saved one of those goals. Maybe just having your captain on the pitch and having some sort of confidence. But at the same time, I think, yeah, a lot of these teams will struggle with defense. And unless they don't sort that out, automatically you won't be scoring as many goals. You won't have as much possession. You won't be locking out their defense, the opposition. So, yeah, it's funny to see all these top teams struggle the way they do, but I think by December we'll know a lot more.
Well, I agree with you on the top two point, because those are the teams that didn't struggle, and the rest of the teams are struggling on and off. So, yeah, interesting to see what will happen. I'm just really glad to see Leicester playing the way they are. Yeah. I really like Vardy. We've spoken about this. Madison, I agree with you. He's doing super well. And just the way Rodgers is managing the squad after losing their most important defender. It's pretty exciting to see what they're up to. And you know, ever since they won that title, it's like Mahrez leaving and Kante leaving, right, and Vardy staying and now Maguire leaving. It's encouraging to see a team still play good top flight football after those pushbacks, right? So that's awesome. And yeah, that pretty much rounds up all the games that we wanted to talk about from the EPL. Why don't we just jump to really quickly the La Liga? Because there's some stuff that's going on there.
Yeah, La Liga's messed up.
La Liga is messed up. Messi's team, this team called FC Barcelona.
UEFA Lona.
UEFA Lona. Okay. So they ended up losing to Granada, which is kind of messed up. And this now, you know, this whole media rumblings about Valverde, no confidence.
Right.
Xavi gave an interview where he's like, yeah, I'm good to step up. I'll coach Barcelona, no problem, or something like that.
He wants to do a Solskjaer.
He wants to do a Solskjaer, or I don't know, man. It's pretty soon to say that Valverde is out, but this is literally their worst start in, I guess, 20 years or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, injuries, yes. System messed up, yes. New signings not turning up, thanks to the previously mentioned points. Yeah, it's not looking so good. I mean, both Real and Barca struggling. We don't know where Griezmann sort of features. He was pretty much the main man at Atletico, and here he has to be one of the many. And
I think we spoke about this last episode as well. He can't do what he did at Atletico. That's not a part of that system. He has to play on that left,
right,
to accommodate Suarez and Messi.
Yeah.
And you know what? The key issue, I think, why this whole issue against Valverde is because even though Messi was injured, he only came back midweek.
Yeah.
And then Suarez in the middle got injured and now he's back as well. Even with that, you had Ansu Fati, you had Griezmann, and you had Suarez for the most part. So you did have a good front three. So the system is still not in place. You got Frankie de Jong, one of the one of the best controllers of that midfield and executing plays in football right now.
Right.
Pairing him up with Busquets. I don't know what's happening. It doesn't seem like... It seems like a very Frank Lampard-ish problem to me right now, which shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think... I mean, you were saying this off mic, that like this breaking out of Ansu Fati, it's almost like now they're depending on him and they want him to be like Real's Vinicius Jr. And
yeah, it kind of confused them, I think.
Yeah, that,
more than actually truly helped them, it confused them. Like, oh, what? No,
exactly.
Benching him. No, he's playing so well. Why should I bench him?
Right. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Vidal, I don't think so we'll ever see him play or be in contention for first team.
He gave away a penalty.
Ouch.
Against Granada. It's in shambles, man. And another point to note, we have FIFA Men's Award Best Player of the Year on this very team, who's now seemingly fit and raring and good to go. So we know what a hungry Messi looks like.
He is, but he even said that, oh, I like playing in competitive teams and this isn't one. Ouch.
Well, he's not right. He's not wrong.
He's
not wrong. It's actually a... it's more of a statement when someone like Messi comes out and says that, because it kind of shakes the whole team up, right?
To buck up, yeah. But even like with Frankie, like, we know he's super young and he shows a lot of maturity on the ball and the way he can, you know, go in and out, transition between defense and midfield. But I don't think so they've used him entirely well. Like, they tried him in the Busquets role. They've tried him with Busquets. They've tried him pushing him up a little up ahead also, which we saw against Dortmund. And nothing's really fit right now. So, yeah, I think for both the new players and the old players to step up, there's a lot to figure out. But when you're Barcelona, you don't have that time. You don't have the luxury of time. And obviously, Messi's back to full fitness. That, I'm sure, will rejuvenate everyone just generally in spirits. But, yeah, they also have a lot to figure out. And it's kind of sad seeing Griezmann sort of go through this period, because he's still putting in that effort. He's still running his ass off. He's trying to do his thing. And he's always been a very, like, freedom role, support striker kind of player. And maybe he's not getting to that as much as he's used to, both in France and Atletico. So it's going to really suck if he doesn't turn up, because super expensive, man. And then to see João Felix killing it at Atletico, I hope we have a new La Liga winner this year.
Well, that's an interesting point. I hope he does kill it too. Otherwise, I would start feeling that that position is cursed and he'll just end up pulling a Coutinho, right?
Ouch.
That'll be super sad to see two great players just not being able to fit because their game styles were different and Barcelona demanded something different off them.
Right.
So that will be truly sad. Talking about new winners, well, Sevilla was top of the table and then they played Real, and Real ecked out a 1-0 win. Benzema ended up saving them from...
It's getting slightly better, yeah.
It is getting better. And Zizou said it's literally the most satisfying win since I've come back.
Ouch.
Makes sense, because they beat the team who's won all their games till now, right, which is no joke, regardless of which league you're in. And the way Real's been playing, it's a confidence top-up on top of that as well. He singled out James and Gareth Bale for praise, which I found hilarious.
Yeah, because almost read that again or hear that again, like, what?
I'm just glad that he's doing it as opposed to just being so ego-driven where he won't acknowledge it.
Right.
Because that means he's doing it for the good of the team. That's what he truly believes in. So that's good. And Bale has been playing well.
He has been playing well. Hazard definitely had a better game. I think stats-wise, he had, I think, the most number of dribbles, most number of take-ons, had a few good shots here and there. And, I think slowly but steadily, you know, I'm sure, like, if not Zizou, then who? Because I actually saw rumblings and articles of how they're, like, some half the squad is against Zizou and they're going to fire him. And, like, Mourinho's, like, aching to get back to management. And he'll
he's a pundit now. let him do that.
The guy starts pretty much crying and complaining, like, I miss football and I want to come back to
every,
this.
Every telecast feels like it's a plea to, exactly, like, clubs. Like, bro, I'm still here, man. Best manager in the world, baby.
Yeah. So, in fact, I was watching this match with a Real Madrid fan, and I think more than the attack and more than everything that's going on with the injuries and stuff, they're still pissed off with Courtois. And, you know, after the PSG thing, it's like, oh, did we let go of the right keeper? And then, like, every time Courtois, like, catches the ball with both hands and doesn't let it go, they're like, oh my god, he's caught the ball, he hasn't slipped it off or whatever.
Dude, that's also, put yourself in, like, Courtois' shoes, man. That's a horrible position to be in. Because we know he's good. He's been great for Atletico. He was good for Chelsea.
Yeah, exactly. Very important terms. He was great for Atletico. He was good at Chelsea. And Madrid hasn't seen any of those versions of Courtois.
I agree. But
and it's
you
been
know,
a really long time, right? Like,
you know, one more thing about goalie is that if you look at a season of a goalie from an entire season perspective, as opposed to match to match, which is tough to do, right, like after so many games,
right,
the perception kind of changes depending on the team's performances as well.
That's true, but okay, example, the PSG match, that first goal near post, like, conceding at your near post is like a sin for goalkeepers. And I mean, yeah, it was a good shot, and it's Angel Di Maria, and I mean, I don't know, and considering how tall Courtois is, and you know, you buy these fancy, you know, goalkeepers and you sign insane amount of contract extensions, De Gea. So, because you want someone who's commanding, who's leading, who leads the line and who inspires your defense, said, okay, if we mess up, this guy's going to take care of us. It hasn't been like that. Like, we didn't see too much of it at Chelsea, maybe at Atletico. You know, and the potential's there. He's huge. He has so much of experience at such a young age. This is the time now to step up. And if you're not one of those personalities in a team like Madrid, then you don't fit, no matter how talented you are. So
I agree. I just chalk it to like underconfidence and like a morale issue, because yeah. I know Courtois has got it, right? Yeah. There's no doubt about that. It's plain to see his performances at the national level as well.
Yeah.
The only time I can clearly remember this recently happening is when a goalkeeper's performances are completely unhinged from their team's performances is that 3-4 season run that De Gea had in the middle,
right,
when United was in shambles. Yeah. And the only reason they were getting 5-4-3, 5-4-3 were points made by De Gea's saves every game.
I literally said that there were so many, like he would do things single-handedly.
Exactly.
Either draws or wins. And
right. So apart from that, it's for the most part, like the team's overall performances has some impact on the perception of a goalie's performances over the season as well.
Right.
According to me, or according to a lot of people, actually, the best goalie right now in football is Oblak.
I'd say so too. I mean, he's sort of gone under the radar because Oblak was doing his thing long before Alisson and Edison started doing their thing. But just to show how important an inspiring keeper is or can be, just look at Liverpool's, you know, sort of stuff when they were dealing with Mignolet and then they got Alisson. And is this like they've totally transformed? Yes, obviously Van Dijk has a big role to play in that as well. But even with City, from Claudio Bravo now to Edison, they're almost like you're scared of the guy. I mean, I just look at his tattoos and I'm scared. He's got tattoos creeping up his neck and some stuff.
That's
but
true. But okay, so to my point, this is actually a good analogy here. If City would have won, if Liverpool wouldn't have won Champions League,
yeah,
right, and City would have won the league and their domestic treble, I think Edison would have gotten the FIFA award for best goalkeeper rather than Alisson.
I'd say so. Yes, that's for sure.
And that by no means that Alisson is responsible in this hypothetical situation of them losing the Champions League. He still might not be at fault, but that's what the team's performance also impacts the goalie's performance or your outlook of it. So just coming back to the point, like Courtois has it,
right.
De Gea has it, he's shown us countless times.
Right.
So it's also got a lot to do with the morale and your confidence level and how the team's performing in terms of how you perceive a goalie's, not the entire amount, but like a 10-20% differential does creep up.
Right, but I mean, I don't know. It's like you say, like the sum is greater than the individual, you know, sum of the players, and the whole together obviously holds up. So I don't know, just like we were talking about De Gea, and I mean, it's easy to see that he started to deteriorate, but I think he had a bad World Cup last year. And I think since then, I don't think so he'll ever get back to his best, considering how, you know, United are and stuff. And it's fair to say that, oh, if United were in a different position, if they had the players, let's say Sanchez would have been a good signing and continued to score like crazy. Let's say Lukaku would have stayed on and been that perfect number nine. Is it fair to say that then in that hypothetical situation or alternate universe, would De Gea then suddenly seem to be better? I don't think so. Even in the goals that he's conceded, one of De Gea's weak sort of spots is that near post. Against Crystal Palace, it was near post. Against a lot of other teams, I think even against Wolves, it was near post one of the goals. So, I don't know. I think, obviously, it does come, because at the end of the day, you're playing in a team of 11, and obviously, it's a group, it's morale, it's, you know, how you look out for each other, and, you know, the kind of attitude you have outside of the pitch and the dressing room and the manager, etc., etc. But at the end of the day, you have to not only have it potential-wise, but you need to apply and in a practical situation, tap into that potential as well. So with Courtois, I don't know, I think Madrid sort of ran into that deal because it was a steal for 35 million. He's still not 35 million. I think way more expensive than that. But at the same time, I don't know, just his attitude seems a little off, which is why the Chelsea fans hate him so much. And it's so weird when you have a Hazard leave literally the next season, people still love Hazard. I personally am aching for Hazard to do well at Madrid, and I cannot say the same for Courtois at all.
Well, Chelsea fans also hate Courtois because he delayed his coming to Chelsea from Atletico for so long. And you guys are like, "Tu mera player hai," and he's like, "Main nahi aana." So he did that for, I think, a season, 2 seasons. Yeah, that irked Chelsea fans a lot. So his starting, I think the whole Chelsea-Courtois relationship didn't start on the right foot. It didn't end on the right foot. So it's very tough to say that it was a good relationship there. Regarding his skills, I mean, he's still young, right? So it's not like he has a lot of years under him. So
right, but if you're not stepping up at this point, you're going to wither into, like, no one's going to remember who you were, and you're just going to be remembered as a failure that Madrid wasted their time on. Like, at this point, and I don't even like Navas. Yes, Navas has won multiple Champions Leagues with Madrid. He's done his thing.
I think he was brilliant in those 3 years.
Yeah, and he's still out keeping Courtois at PSG, and we saw that at the Champions League.
Well, that's a good thing that Courtois has going for him, because now he has more sort of time to ease into his position, because he doesn't have a Keylor Navas snapping at his heels to take up his position, right?
Yeah, he has Alphonse Areola.
Areola, yeah.
And Areola's like, am I in the right team? Did I just, like, what just happened there?
Yeah, so the backup is the old PSG backup. It's fine for Courtois. I think it's now or never, like you said. Yeah. But he has a little more time than maybe what we're thinking he does. And let's see who comes out on top. De Gea, Oblak's killing it, like we mentioned. Neuer,
Oblak,
and,
I think value-wise right now, is the most expensive keeper.
We saw Neuer and Ter Stegen have that off-field debate, which is so stupid, pointless completely. But I understand Ter Stegen's frustration, because he's also been maybe top three for the past year, 2 years.
Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting. I didn't expect us to deep dive into goalkeepers this much, but it was great to have your thoughts on that. Yeah. That wraps up this episode of the Football Corner. Hope you guys liked it. Again, if you're new, you can check us out wherever you get your podcasts or our website, munchermedia.com. And we will catch you guys next week.
Yay.
Bye-bye. Fantasy.